Chapter 8.
We tear through their undefended rear with great fury. Their automated guns, driven by unclean spirits, are silenced by Brother Horsk's melter gun. His artistry with this weapon is unsurpassed in our sixth company. In all the chapter, I would argue. I have willingly taken wagers on this matter, and have won most. Down onto a small group of their warriors we fall. They are obscured by my exhaust trail as I descend. My entire being shakes with the thrust of my jump pack, making my vision blur. It is not until my boot soles ring upon the unfinished plazas of their illegal settlement that I notice the nature of our foe. They are humans, traitors who have turned their back upon the Emperor of Mankind and thrown their lot in with these Xenos. It is then that I see the tracing pulse blink brightly. This is the correct place, then. I am pleased with the efficacy of our intelligence. What would make these men turn, I think? Some say that the Tau are progressive, and their offers of equality and friendship are sincere. I am no fool. I do not believe, as Biologian Tulk believes, and Inquisitor Gallius half believes, that there is some psychic or biochemical coercion at play. I doubt Tulk has seen much of the Imperium beyond the precincts of his own forge worlds. Gallius most certainly has, but men such as he are as preoccupied as the likes of Tulk. They see their task before them and are so blinded to the greater picture. In my quieter moments after conflict, I have wondered at the injustice I see in the worlds I have visited, for it brings to mind the terrible woes our Primarch Korax suffered himself at the hands of the Technarchy of Deliverance before their rule was overthrown by the Emperor in eons past. I can understand the temptation the Tau present. These water caste need nothing more than half-meant promises of freedom. On many worlds long forgotten, this would be enough to sway the hearts of men. But this they do not understand. The alien is perfidious in his ways. They cannot be trusted to keep to their oaths. Their codes of honour, if they possess them, are different to ours, and one cannot rely on their word. It is said by the Ecclesiarchy that mankind is the apex of evolution, that there is no higher form of life. If there were, the preachers say, then why are the sons of terror so numerous? The Tau believe it is their destiny to rule the stars. In actuality, they are nothing but pretenders. And no matter how fine the inducement, there is no excuse for treachery. We dwell in a time of suffering, so that mankind might persist. Who is to shirk this responsibility? No man, whether he be the lowliest servitor or the highest adept of whatever order, low-born, noble, savage, or civilized, has the right to decide his own fate thus. To turn one's back upon the Emperor is to deny him one's service, and in doing so to deny one's service to mankind as a whole. I do not deny my service. I do suffer in his name for all humanity. What, then, am I to think of those I protect turning their hand against me, no matter their situation? So I have understanding of their decisions, but I have no sympathy. Sympathy.
A further emotional resonance disrupts the rip briefly. It is tied with the memory of the companion. There is the sensation of soft lips upon his, a fleeting sign of affection long ago. But it is an important memory for him, no matter how deeply buried. There is but a shadow that passes over our reading, and it is gone.
I think all this as I land and eviscerate four of them with my bolt pistol, one shot apiece. They do not have time to react. Their Xenos-gifted equipment is admirable, but cannot stand against the arms of the Emperor. Their deaths are just. I feel no shame. They have betrayed us all. We are into the processing center easily. Weapons fire patters off me as the traitors recover their wits.
The rounds of the traitor's guns are strong, but lacking in the necessary mass to penetrate our battle plate. Their energies are quickly absorbed by the layers underlying the adamantium and plasteel of my war harness's outer shell. The rest die at our hands. Porsk melts the locking mechanism. By the time he and I have prized open the door, the servo mechanisms and fiber bundles of our armor thrumming with the effort, the majority of the human traitors guarding the facility are dead. I spare a quick glance for my visor's tactical overlay. Yuvin has been separated from us, but is engaging a smaller group of human traitors. He will keep. Quickly! Into the atrium! Our targets are within. I, Raivak, Colinthinor, Roak, Kaur, and Horsk follow our grenades into the interior. The lights go out. Either turned off to hinder us or extinguished by our attack, I cannot tell. Men are screaming. Many run for the doors, some prostrate themselves. All are met by fire from Usk, Brakor, and Canthin outside. I consider telling them to cease their fire. Each and every one of the men inside here are Imperial soldiers, but they are also potential turncoats, else they would not be in such a center. And none will ever leave Agrellon, unless it be under Tau colors. Better that 10 good men die so that the 11th not raise arms against the Emperor. The confusion works in our favor. My visor picks in outline the Tau Whisperers. My armor's cogitators analyze their badges and markings. None are of high rank. They are not the one we seek. I shoot them down. Then, I have him. A positive match with the images given to me by Shrike, an officer of their diplomatic corps. More, he is the specific officer. There, that one, take him, I point. The Tau looks right back at me, but does not run. He is wounded, but lightly. Is he in shock? Some species have feeble constitutions. Roak makes for him. The others are hacking at the rest of the Tau's whisperers. They shove men out of their way, chopping them down if they do not move. Many do not. Some are certainly dazed, others perhaps seek to protect their captors. How fickle is men's loyalty. Shouts over my vox. A scream. I bring up the vital signs of my squad. Yuvin is dead. I look out of the door. Bulky shapes are coming down outside. The Tau commander and her bodyguard. Here is a challenge for us. Their armor is powerful, mounting many weapons systems of great efficiency. But the Tau are by nature, or have been made by reliance on such devices, soft and weak. In combat, they are no match for us. I ignite my jets, setting ablaze a huddle of men. I fly from the building, axe swinging. I barge one elite from my path and damage another with a blow from my axe. It hops back quickly on the flame spears of its own flight unit. Threat indicators blink with urgency in many parts of my helmet. The bodyguard all carry melter-type weapons. They are falling back to bring them to bear, boxing me in. Their skills are lesser, but their flight packs are quicker than ours. I stand to lose most of my squad. By the command node, the Ketachan's attack is faltering. More of the Tau are turning their attention to our fight. There is no honor to be had dying here. I check the trace in my visor. The betrayer of traitors is close by. Very close. And lives. Fall back, O brothers of the Raven! Melt into the shadows! My men obey. Three, Yuvin, Usk, and Colinathor are down. Yuvin and Usk dead. Colinathor hindered by a damaged jump pack. He struggles to shuck it off. I watch as he is attacked from two sides. As he goes for the enemy on his left, a plasma round from the right lays him low. With regret, I notice Roak has not caught the water cast, although last I saw he had him gripped around the chest. Success eludes us, he communicates. Alas, I was driven off by the ferocity of a Xenos slave guard. A deep furrow has been scored across his breastplate, but he is not harmed. I am glad. For Roak to be bested by a Xenos, it must have been ferocious indeed. Fall back, I cry. I would feel shame in our failure, if failure it were. But to fight with wisdom is the mark of our order, and there are other plans afoot. I contact Brother Ravan, serving as commander in my stead aboard the Swift Vengeance, and bid him make ready. The hunt is on. The hunt. Attack from the shadows, I think. Like the gods who dwell on the moon. Always from the shadows. I am a boy again. I will have my vengeance.
Another hunt. We are losing him. We must be careful. His sanity is in the balance. This mind rip is torturing us all. He remembers. He remembers things long ago. He defies us. We are on a walkway, a sliver of stolen metal in our hands, waiting. Waiting for the man who defiled the one we loved, our companion. He defies us.